God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The first scripture reading is from the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis. Listen to the word of God. Judah took a wife for his firstborn son. Her name was Tamar, but Judah's firstborn son, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord put to death. Then Judah said to Onan, his secondborn son, "Go in to your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her. Raise up offspring for your brother." But since Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, Onan spilled his semen on the ground whenever he went in to his brother's wife Tamar, so that Onan would not give offspring to his brother What Onan did was displeasing in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord put Onan to death also. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up," for Judah feared that Shelah too would die like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's house. In course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah's time of mourning was over, he went up to Timnah to his sheep shearers, he and his friend Hurah the Adullamite. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep," Tamar put off her widow's garments, put on a veil, wrapped herself up, and sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. Tamar saw that Shelah was grown up, yet Tamar had not been given to Shelah in marriage. When Judah saw Tamar, he thought her to be a prostitute, for Tamar had covered her face. Judah went over to her at the roadside and said, "Come, let me come in to you," for Judah did not know that the woman was his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Tamar said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" Judah answered, "I will send you a kid, a small goat from the flock." And she said, "Only if you give me a pledge until you send it." Judah said, "What pledge shall I give you?" She replied, "Your signet and your cord and the staff that is in your hand." So Judah gave all these things to Tamar and went into her, and Tamar conceived by Judah. Then Tamar got up and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel text throughout Advent will be this year the opening verses of the gospel according to Matthew. These are the verses that comprise the opening genealogy in the first chapter. Those are the begats. So person A begat person B, person B begat person C begat person D, so on and so forth. Plot is not real thick, character development is thin, and usually people hit the snooze button when you start to read the genealogy. Other than that, it's an exciting text. Nevertheless, we are brave and bold. So we listen for the word of God as we hear the first couple of verses of the genealogy, since you probably don't want to get all of it. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Got to remember that. Son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his 11 brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron. And Hezron, the father of Aram. We're going to stop there. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, this genealogy is a prime example of the necessity of you have to know the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, in order to understand the New. You don't know the Old Testament, the New Testament, frankly, doesn't really make a lot of sense. You would, for instance, have really no idea. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, Zerah, Tamar, Hezron. Who are these people? What's the connection here? So, This is a early 1950s TV show in sermon promotion for study. You got to study, people. If you're not studying, you're not going to grow into faith. If you're not growing in the faith, you're not going to know what to do. What is our mission? What is our call? End of that here. Now, you also are probably going to run right through this by not knowing the stories. Abraham's father of Isaac, Isaac father of Jacob, Jacob father of Judah, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar, how does Tamar get into this? You all know that this is going to be a male-oriented, male-dominated culture, traditions, and therefore the genealogy is going to go through the men. What is a woman doing in the genealogy? Because it's going to go on and on and on until we back ourselves all the way back to son of David, son of Abraham. How does a woman get in here? A woman does not belong in here. Do you know the story of Tamar? How does a woman, it's bad enough there's a woman, how does a woman like Tamar get into the genealogy of Jesus, son of David, son of Abraham? So the Tamar story, Judah and Tamar story, perhaps a better way to put it, is a two-act play. Wayne has read us the first act. And of course, what we've heard in there is that Judah is one of the sons of Jacob. And that's going to be the lineage. That is going to be the line to Jesus. So we, because we know the other side of the story, we hear Judah, we go, we need to listen for that name real quick. So through Judah, we're going to get a son, and that's going to be by virtue of Tamar, and then we're going to go to the next generation. Okay, so Judah has a son, Wayne read. Son was wicked. So God axed him. That's by the way, we should note that Genesis 38, even if you studied the Hebrew scriptures a lot, you probably don't know Genesis 38, because it has got to be in the top 10 of least studied, least preached texts in the history of the church. Nobody in their right mind is going to preach on Genesis 38. There's sex in here. That is usually not acceptable to us descendants of Puritans. We don't like that sort of stuff. And in church, doubly so. There's also death stuff in here. That makes us queasy. We don't like to deal with death. So when you put sex and death, and then there's all sorts of other little oddities that adults find difficult to explain to children. So Genesis 38 is not a text that you could be forgiven if you've ever studied or heard of this thing. I've never touched this text. I'm not that stupid. But I'm near the end of my line, so you just let it go down. I have an expiration date, see? All right. So the first son is wicked. Kill him off. And God kills him off. That raises lots of questions. Okay. Second son. So Levirate marriage. If the first son does not produce the male heir, you've got to keep the lineage going. There is a promise. Then the second son has a duty, a responsibility to produce that first son, produce a son through the first brother. Yeah, well, I got that all mixed up. The first son needs a male heir. So the second son is the pinch hitter, shall we say. He doesn't want to be the pinch hitter because he figures, it's not going to be my son. I'm not going to get credit for this. So Onan is a me first, people. This is selfishness writ large. There's no benefit other than We do have to kind of play around this text at some point. The only benefit he gets is bedding down this woman, okay? Kind of trying to go around the dance here. All right, so he's killed. That's no good either. And God kills that person too. Now Judah's down to the third and final son. So Judah's thinking, wow, this isn't going to work out so well. So he tells Tamar, who was the first, not the first, she was the wife of the first son. The son was wicked and died. She is not able to bear a son for the second brother because he's selfish, so he's gone. Now there's only the third son left. So Judah takes things into his own hands, and he says, you need to hold off a little bit on Shelah to fulfill the Levirate marriage because he's not quite ready yet. All right, But he's not yet ready ever. Judah is not going to risk sacrificing the third son. So Judah has taken over here the promise. You need to see that in this story. Judah has become a hindrance, an obstruction in the promise of God to produce this lineage to the son of David, son of Abraham. But remember, they're going forwards. We see it coming towards us, so we have too much information. That's where we kind of got pretty much in the first act. Now, the second act begins, which we overlapped with a little bit with Wayne. Tamar interrupts this whole cycle of death and destruction. She is going to take initiative to advance the promise. God's promise is not solely on God doing something. God's promise for abundance of life, for justice in life, for wholeness in life, is predicated on A, God provides gifts. God provides the power through the Spirit. We are the people who provide the arms, the legs, the hands. There is no justice in the world because we just pray for God to bring about justice. There is no peace between Ukraine and Russia because we just pray for peace between Ukraine and Russia. It is up to humans to participate in God's plan for peace and justice and harmony through their hands, arms, legs. We have a responsibility as co-creators. We're in a relationship with this God we know about. Judah decided to take over the plan. Judah is an obstruction. Judah has ended the plan, which is that's common amongst humans. We always have a better idea. Tamar interrupts this. She now is going to create a ruse. Oh, we don't like this. She's going to be deceitful. She is going to lie, in effect. She hears that Judah is heading down to the sheep shearing, down to the markets. She disguises herself as a prostitute because she knows that when men go to the market, what do men do when they go to the market? They find a prostitute. I mean, you got to have some entertainment to go to the market, right? Because shopping is boring, right? So that's what they do. You really want to read the Old Testament. It's a very exciting book, okay? So she dresses up as a prostitute. But she's pretending to be a prostitute, right? Judah comes along and, oh, there's a prostitute. So, hey, we'd like to beget something. Well, okay, there's a fee. Yeah, you do have to pay a fee. I don't have experience with this. Just I understand there's a fee, all right? Well, the fee is going to be a goat. So, that's the way they do things. Well, he's going to go with them, so this is going to have to be like an IOU. Well, okay, so I want a pledge. I want an IOU. I want something black and white. So we need to get your staff, your signet, your cord. These are items that are unique only to Judah. In effect, they're emblazoned with his name and whatnot, his social security number, so on and so forth. Okay, then they begat. Yes. And then Judah goes home, and she goes home. She takes off all her disguise, goes home. Time passes, it says, 3 months later. Judah is now learning from others that your daughter-in-law, Tamar, remember she's married to the first son who was wicked, she A, prostituted herself, B, be pregnant. That's always some of the earth-shattering words, you know. Pregnant, like, oh my God, everything changes now. So, Judah says, because he's taking over God's plan, right? So he says, bring her here, burn her. So no way of saying it's her butt. You're a prostitute, you're pregnant, burn her. Tamar comes out, okay, but she says, before you burn me, you need to know that the owner of these three personal items is the person who impregnated me. And of course, oh wow, now the whole thing turns upside down because she presents the signet, the cord, the staff of Judah. So now Judah has this ray of light. And the text says, Tamar is more in the right than I. I did not give her to Shelah. So we play with this verse a little bit. I took over God's plan. I interrupted God's promise. I was thinking about me, myself, and I. First of all, my first son, my second son, and I didn't want it to happen to the third sons. So my world focused around me, myself, and I, but that would have been the end of the lineage. That would have broken the promise. But God, yes, God's spirit and God's gifts empowered Tamar to be bold and courageous and risky to keep the lineage going, to keep the promise going. All right, so we kind of play with the Genesis 38 here. Abraham's the father of Isaac, Isaac's the father of Jacob, Jacob's the father of Judah, Judah's the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Without Tamar in here, there's no more verses. That's the end of it. In post-Jewish piety, Tamar is recognized as a saint. She is recognized as a brave, bold, faithful servant of God who was willing to risk herself for the promise to continue and keep the lineage going. Okay, so the begat, yeah, all of a sudden this has a little bit of third dimensionness. So where are we in the promise, and where are we hindering the promise, or where are we helping to advance the promise? We are not going to create God's kingdom. We are not the people who fulfill the kingdom. We're simply called to be the advance guard. We're called to be the show and tell people. We're called to be the witnesses. It has to be through our hands and arms and legs, and our words, our behavior. We show and tell the world. So if we go back to the beginning with, we say justice, peace, and harmony, this is what God's kingdom is about. And we are people who witness to that through our words, through our deeds. That's going to run against the current of culture and politics and economics and all sorts of other strains in society. But this is what God is doing, people. This is what God has been doing. This is what God is doing. And this is what God will do. You and I are called to be witnesses, as was Tamar, who take risks, bold risks, to show and tell the world that God is about doing something new and different to bring about his peace, his justice, his harmony, and his kingdom in the name of Christ.